Welcome to another episode of COVID Chronicles, a podcast by, for, and about people affiliated with Portland Mennonite Church in Portland, Oregon. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum, and my guest is Sylvia Shirk. Welcome, Sylvia. It's great to have you with me.
Thank you.
As we often do, I'm going to have us begin with a bit of your origin story, and I'm pretty sure that you are not a native Oregonian.
You're right. I am not a native Oregonian. I was born in Pennsylvania, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
How long were you there? Did you grow up there, or did your family move? Or
I spent the first 18 years of my life there. So I lived all of my childhood there, and then I moved away, and I have not lived there since.
Just to say that I also lived in Lancaster County for a period of time some years ago, so I have a pretty good idea of that area, and it's beautiful.
Yes, it is.
How many siblings do you have, and where do you fit in the family?
I have 8 siblings. I have 4 sisters and 4 brothers. And I'm the second oldest. So, huge family.
Talk a little bit about what it was like growing up with that many brothers and sisters.
There were always people there. We were never lonely. We were always accompanied. And I definitely learned so much in that family, having that many siblings. There were times when I thought it was too many. There were times when I wanted my family to go camping like my friends' families did. And there was no way that 11 people were going to fit into a camping tent. I don't think my parents were interested in camping, but there just seemed to be a lot of things that we had too many children in our family to be able to do. And when I got to be a teenager, I was also more aware of being stared at when we went out to shop, for example, if we all went, or even if only 7 of us went to us. That was a huge group of people piling out of a car and, you know, walking into a store. So I was very self-conscious about it. And one of the things that my sisters and brothers and I can laugh about now was that there was a family in our church, and we used to make fun of them because they had such a big family, and their last name was Hoover. We called them the Hoover Nation. They also had 9 kids.
Were you raised on a farm or in town? Or
it was a very small town. It was just, you know, a bunch of houses side by side along a road. So we had neighbors very close, but farmland behind our house.
Was your address actually Lancaster, or was it another small village?
Leola, and the village is Bearville. So it's very close to Akron, Pennsylvania, where Mennonite Central Committee has had its office for many, many years.
I'm guessing that church was always an important part of your growing up years. Talk a bit about church in those early days.
I can't remember when I started attending, because I think I was, you know, a babe in arms when I started attending the church. And yes, the church was super important. That was really the center of our family's life and of my life as a child growing up. My best friends were my Sunday school classmates, and the people that we socialized with were other people from our church. So yes, very, very important to my growing up years.
And which church was it actually?
The New Holland Mennonite Church in New Holland, Pennsylvania.
You went to public school?
I did, yes. I went to the local public school and graduated there.
What was going to happen after high school graduation? How and when did you make that decision?
I went to college right out of high school, and I think that I was influenced in that decision because of my teachers in junior high and high school. I didn't know very many adults who had gone to college. My parents had not, my aunts and uncles that I knew best had not. And in the church that I grew up in, only one man who I remember being a peer of my parents in that age group was somebody that had gone to college. So I didn't expect that for myself, but then I started hearing my teachers in school saying, no, to my classes, you folks are going to go to college. You better learn this stuff now because you're going to go to college and you're going to need to know this. And I remembered thinking, how do they know I'm going to go to college? You know, why would they think that I should go to college? And so my friends and I started talking about that. We got this romantic idea that it was going to be fun, whatever it was. We didn't quite know what college would be, but we were going to buy a Volkswagen, and the four of us were going to drive to a faraway college. We would, you know, have fun there doing whatever people did when they went to college. And we were going to go to Goshen College. Of the four of us, I was the only one who went to Goshen College. So that was sort of an unexpected thing. But by the time I was finishing high school, I knew that I wanted to go to college and chose Goshen College, a Mennonite school in Goshen, Indiana.
How were you going to pay for this?
I remember that it was very expensive, and that was one of the things that I looked at as I was choosing my school. I had some savings from having summer jobs and having some babysitting jobs, and I knew that you know, other people had parents who were going to pay for college, and mine were not, with the nine kids and the kind of income that they did not have. And I thought about maybe I could afford 1 year of college. I found out that the state of Pennsylvania would give a scholarship. I don't know if they gave it to everyone, but I was going to get some sort of a scholarship. And that I thought would make it possible for me to go to Goshen for 1 year.
And even though it was Pennsylvania that gave you the scholarship, they were okay with you using it in Indiana?
Yes. I don't know if that would still be the case, but yes, they were.
How did your parents feel about you, first of all, going to college, and secondly, heading off to Indiana? Had your older sibling done anything like this?
My older sister did go to college, and she went to Eastern Mennonite College in Harrisonburg, Virginia. And my parents were very supportive. They actually had some friends in Goshen, Indiana, and they had some friends who were on the faculty at Goshen College. And so they felt really positive about that community. And I actually remembered having visited there one time when I was 5 years old on a family vacation. We had made some visits to Goshen, Indiana, and we met some of those people who I then could connect with when I went out there as a student.
Before you even headed off to college, did you have any idea what you might want to study or major in, or was it simply, I'm going to college?
One of the things that I wanted to do was participate in the study service trimester that Goshen was offering, which was an opportunity for learning and service in another country. And that was one of the main reasons that I wanted to go to Goshen. But I did go with the idea of majoring in social work. And that idea came out of an interview with the guidance counselor at my school. We were given some sort of an aptitude test or a study to look at our interests and strengths. And on the list of things that came up higher on my profile was social work. And I look back at that, it sort of makes me chuckle now, because in all of my growing up years in a working class environment, I had never met a social worker. I didn't know anybody who was a social worker. I had no idea what that really was. But the guidance counselor told me, well, you know, you seem to have scored higher on things that indicate you would like to be helping people. So why not social work? And Goshen did offer studies in that field.
Where did you go on SST?
I went to Nicaragua. I went at the end of my first year. I was able to convince them that since I didn't have funds to go for more than 1 year, I asked them to please allow me to go on the program at the end of my first year, even though this was usually something that you had to be at least a second or third year student to do. I went to Nicaragua and I had an awesome time.
Is it safe to say that this was the first time that you had left the United States other than maybe Canada?
No, I had been several times to France to see my mother's family. The first time I was 3 years old when we went, and I went again when I was 10, and then I went when I was between my junior and senior year of high school. I went to spend time with family there.
Say a little more about that. Your mother was born in France, or?
Right. My mother's from France, and she came to the United States after marrying my dad. My dad is from Pennsylvania, and he was in France after World War II in a project of reconstruction. So in this project, they were helping some of the Mennonite community in northeastern France, where there had been a lot of destruction in World War II, including the farm that my mother's family lived in and their church community. And so there was this group of these young North American guys working with Mennonite Central Committee who were in their community, and that's how my parents met. My mother left her family and got on a boat with her new husband in 1948 to go to the United States. So she has spent the next 72 years, she's 92 now, living in Pennsylvania.
So did you speak French in your childhood home?
A little bit, not so much. My mother's family language is Alsatian, and that's a German dialect. I think when I was a baby, she spoke Alsatian to us because she was learning English, but mostly our family language was English. We had a lot of contact, though, with our relatives, so we often had visits from aunts and uncles and eventually cousins. And so I started speaking French with them on our visits, and then I studied it in high school and college. I did a junior year in France as a college student.
So when you headed to Nicaragua, was that yet another new language for you to work with, or had you had some Spanish somewhere?
When I went there, I had already had 10 years of Spanish because my elementary school started a program, and I started in third grade and studied Spanish every year. So it was, at least for me, a very effective program, and I got off the plane in Nicaragua, I was speaking Spanish.
Can you give us just one example of something that happened in Nicaragua that you still remember all these years later?
Wow. I remember a lot of things. Oh, one of my very special memories was the night of my birthday. And I had learned in Spanish class through high school all about the tradition of women being serenaded from their balcony window on their birthday. And our Spanish teacher had taught us the birthday song that is often sung to people in Spanish on their birthday. And I guess I had chattered about that to my host family. And on the night of my birthday, my host sister and I were in our room in bed, and there was a noise below the window. And it was the musicians that my family had ordered. And my host sister said, "Get up, get up. You know, they're singing for you." And so I rushed over to the window and she said, "No, no, stand back, stand back. You're not supposed to show yourself. You're not supposed to show that you're listening until the very end. And then you're supposed to stick your head out and smile and say thank you, I guess." Or I didn't know what I was really supposed to do. So anyway, I stepped back so that they couldn't see me, and I enjoyed the real thing. I mean, they really did play and sing that birthday song that we had learned in Spanish class when I was in high school. That was one of my really special memories.
And which birthday was it, 18 or 19?
19.
So the idea was that you'd go to Goshen for 1 year. What actually happened?
Well, there was a very nice man in the financial aid office who listened to me, and he said, you know, it wouldn't have to be that way. We could help you with a financial aid package of some sort, and you could stay another year. And so I did. And then he talked to me again, and I stayed another year, and I graduated from there.
So you went 4 years in a row.
Yes, I did.
At what point did you actually have to choose your major, and what did it turn out to be?
I don't remember for sure. I mean, I know that usually now it's a sophomore year that they try to channel students in that direction, and there's a certain time limit for declaring a major, but I couldn't think of anything else to do, so I stayed with social work.
So you ended up with a bachelor's in social work.
I did.
What were you planning to do with that?
When I think about it now, I guess I was planning to go out into the world and find out what social workers did. You know, I had done some practicums, and it was interesting to me. But I really think now that I had still a very limited idea of what that might amount to. I remember I saw something in the newspaper. I started applying in the newspaper for jobs, and I saw an ad for this organization that I already knew about, but they were advertising for a social worker. And so I went, and there was a very kind person who gave me an interview, but basically said, you're just graduating from college with a bachelor's, and you have no experience, and you're applying for a job as a psychotherapist, you know, something like that. Like, why don't you refine your goals a little bit? I mean, he was actually, I think, very, very helpful. I'm grateful, but I just needed a lot of help and guidance. So I did get a job as a caseworker in the county welfare department in child protective services. It was a stretch. It was a good challenge. I had a good team, and I was grateful to have had that job.
Was this back in Pennsylvania?
No, I stayed in Indiana. I worked in the Elkhart County Welfare Department.
So you did that for some years. What's sort of the next big thing that happened to you?
I did that for 2 years. And then, then I went to France for a year of volunteer work. I wanted to do something international, and I got this opportunity to go to the community where my mother grew up and work in a residential home for children with disabilities. And I was a volunteer there for a year. And then I went back to Indiana, and I worked in a school as a caseworker with children in the local school. I did that for 2 years, working in elementary schools. And then I worked at Goshen College again, working as a residence hall director. I did that for 2 years.
At some point, you became a pastor, right? I know I'm jumping ahead. Can you tell us a bit about when and how that came about?
Well, I probably, you know, think about that going back to my time as a college student. I started hearing about women being ministers, and I started hearing about people raising these questions about why do we just have men in pastoral ministry? And I'm sort of coming into this conversation and saying, yeah, why is that the case? So I started learning about Christian feminism, and I became a supportive person for women who wanted to study theology. And I started to audit some courses at the seminary, and then I took a course for credit and took some more courses. And so I very, very gradually made a transition from being an interested person to a person supportive of other women who were going into pastoral ministry and studying theology. to being a person who was myself studying theology, and then embracing a call to pastoral ministry for myself when I was in my 30s, and actually finished my degree when I was about 40, and became a pastor. At that time, I was in Massachusetts, and I was a member of the Mennonite Congregation of Boston, and I became a pastor there for a year.
And the seminary that you went to, was that the Mennonite Seminary in Elkhart, Indiana?
I did take a few courses there, but I did a variety of places. So after some time, then I was in Brussels, Belgium for 8 years. And during that time, I did some studies at the Protestant Theology School and at a Catholic Theology School. And then I finished my degree in Massachusetts at the Episcopal Divinity School in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So I had a little bit of Mennonite education, but I was so grateful for the opportunities that I had to learn in a broader setting and connect with theological work that was being done beyond the Mennonite world. And the seminary where I got my degree had a feminist liberation theology program that was extremely interesting to me. And I was able to study with some people who I later learned were really important feminist theologians. And so, yeah, I'm just incredibly grateful for the way that my journey unfolded and that I was able to do those things.
I'm going to really jump ahead now and just talk a little bit about what brought you to Portland and to Portland Mennonite Church. I do know that you have some family members out here, so talk a bit about your journey to Portland.
I came to Portland to be with family. That's the reason that I came. And I was at a time in my career of being semi-retired and being ready for a different mode, I guess. And so I moved to Portland on the 31st of December and moved into the neighborhood where both of my daughters live. They each have two children. And so I wanted to be closer to them. I also have a brother and sister-in-law living in that same Northeast Portland neighborhood. And I have two nieces also living there. So it's a little family enclave that I've been really happy to join. And we're going to grow that a little bit more in just 9 days. My mother is going to move to live with me. And so we're going to be even more intergenerational here.
So it was just last December 31st, 2019, that you actually moved here.
Right. And I was grateful to have, you know, finished buying some furniture at IKEA and assembling it and getting my household set up before getting isolated and shut down and shut in with coronavirus.
What an amazing way to start your life in Portland. A few months later, the virus hits.
That's right.
So tell me a little bit about how you've actually been dealing with that. How do you spend your days? Are you still kind of working?
Well, I am kind of working. I worked as an interpreter part-time, and I was just feeling like now finally, you know, I had gone the round of these different agencies and I had finally gotten some work with a couple different places. I was finally getting some jobs and then it all got shut down. And it has taken a long time for a lot of those agencies to ramp back up. First of all, it took them a long time to start working online or on Zoom or on the phone. I do have some work again now, but not very much. I haven't gone to any in-person interpreting jobs. Just this week, they started calling again about some in-person jobs. So that's been really strange. It really kind of freaked me out to think of being a shut-in, not getting to go anywhere. That was hard.
Are you seeing your grandchildren at this point, at least?
Yes. Yes, I am. And I'm grateful that that's a possibility. So yes, I'm able to have them come to my house and I've gone to their homes. Yes, it's really been nice that I have those contacts. I appreciate that a lot. I've gotten together a few times with people where, you know, we can sit 6 feet apart at a picnic table and visit. That's been something that I've appreciated doing. I've gotten in together with a few people from Portland Mennonite Church that way, and I really appreciate that.
So is it safe to say that when you came and you were looking for a church, that Portland Mennonite was sort of the obvious place, or was it not quite that clear cut?
It was pretty obvious. I had visited a number of times and attended the church with my brother Ed and sister-in-law Phyllis. And I'm still very Mennonite, so that was the church. I would like to visit some of the other Mennonite churches, which I didn't know too much about when I first moved here, but I would like to visit them.
So when this pandemic is over, there's just a lot more things that you're looking forward to doing and seeing. Is that a safe assumption?
Yes. Yes.
I'm sure that there are many more parts of your story. It's obvious that we just barely scratched the surface, but thank you so much, Sylvia, for taking the time to give us a little glimpse into some of your stories.
You're very welcome, and I wish you well with the ongoing project of collecting the stories and helping to give voice to the experience of this COVID-19 journey that we're on together. Best wishes.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us for this episode of COVID Chronicles. We hope you discovered something new and feel more connected to your friends at Portland Mennonite. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum. Until next time, stay well and keep the faith.